This is Sports Map All Night with Bill Schmidt on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Bill Schmidt.
Hunter Baumgartner in for Bill Schmidt tonight here on Sports Map All Night. You can follow me on Twitter at HunterB on Air, and of course follow us at Sports Map Radio. This hour of Sports Map All Night on Sports Map Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Wanted to talk some MLB baseball. Obviously, we have the national championship game going on, and we'll continue to keep you up posted. Gonzaga down 11, just under 16 minutes to go in the second half. But joining me now on the Progressive guest line is Michael Bradburn. He covers the MLB for The Score, and you can find him on Twitter at MWBII. I'm excited to hear his thoughts regarding our first full weekend of the MLB season. Michael, thanks so much for a couple minutes. How are you?
My pleasure. I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, doing well too. Thanks so much for coming on and talking some baseball, which I'm super glad it's back. I'm a big baseball fan myself, and so I was excited to watch the first weekend and just take in some baseball, something we didn't, you know, get until July last year. So give me a takeaway or two from the first full weekend of games from you. I know Shohei Ohtani was really impressive last night. You had some great pitchers duels, some great individual performances. Of course, we had the first scuffle of the season with the Reds and Cardinals. So what stood out the most to you on opening weekend?
For sure. I think it's got to be Ohtani, right? Like, I think everything, like the weekend just felt like it was building up towards Ohtani. Then you got word that Joe Maddon was going to let him hit and pitch at the same time, foregoing the DH in an AL park, which is incredibly, incredibly rare. And he looked really good until, you know, the fortuitous fifth inning when he was involved in that collision at home plate with Jose Abreu, which was totally an accident on Abreu's part. Like, he's just trying to score there. But still, extremely scary. It seems like Ohtani's 100% okay, but yeah, like if we're getting Maddon being able to do that with Ohtani, then I think the Angels become immediately one of the like three must-watch teams all year because you know they've got Trout. Upton had a great opening series as well. Jared Walsh looks great too, and that's without Joe Adell in the majors as well. So. They should be a pretty exciting team. I don't know if they're the best team in that division yet, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, the Angels are such an interesting team because it's every year you want to pick them and you want to pick them to win the West or you want to pick them to get a wild card, and they just cannot seem to get over the hump and get into the postseason. Do you think this is the year kind of everything coming together, especially if Ohtani plays well and we have only seen one weekend? But, you know, is this Angels team maybe better than years past and could get that wild card spot or even compete and maybe even win that AL West?
Yeah, so I hate going back on my preseason predictions after, you know, one weekend of play.
Yeah.
I almost never do. I'm usually pretty confident in my predictions, even though they're always wrong. But I took the A's, and they look terrible. The Astros look legit. And honestly, I'm kind of buying the Angels now. I kind of wish I had the preseason cojones to just pick the Angels to win the division. Because, yeah, I kind of think they do it this year. They still need help on the pitching side, but the bullpen looks a little bit sturdier. Maddon is leaning on Raisel Iglesias probably a little bit too much. I think pitching in three of the first four games or something like that, two of the first three. But yeah, I really like them.
Well, and it's interesting, like you said, it's you know, you can... I was going to kind of ask you because, like, how much can you really, like, looking at, you know, some of the things that happened over the weekend, whether it's the Angels or whether it's other teams, you know, like the A's starting slow, Astros starting real hot, you know, is there anything that we can take from this weekend from any team, you know, one or two things? Like, you know, like you said, it's only three games or four games, what have you, but is there something that jumped out to you that impressed or maybe did not impress you so much that it might change your outlook on a team just from that first weekend?
I mean, I guess the biggest one is that the A's might actually be trash. Like the loss of Liam Hendricks and Marcus Semien this winter were pretty big, but are looming much larger than I think people even foresaw. And then I think the Astros are kind of back too. Like Kyle Tucker looks great. Yordan Alvarez is healthy. Those are huge additions to a team that still has, you know, key pieces in Alex Bregman, Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve. If, you know, I think I wish I didn't underrate the Astros heading into the season the most. And I think the opening weekend kind of proved that. Even if it doesn't make them like elite or anything, like we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves after one weekend series, but
right.
Yeah.
Well, and do you think, because, you know, I think that with the Astros, it's interesting because I think this cheating scandal kind of put them almost out of people's minds as far as, you know, how good they were because, oh, they cheated. So, you know, then they're that good because they cheated. But I think it's more like, you know, they're still a very talented team and they have talent on that roster, not only offensively, but through that rotation. So do you think when they stack up against some of the other teams in the AL, like maybe the Twins or White Sox or Yankees or some of the other teams that are going to be good this year, the Rays, do you think they have as good a chance as anyone to represent the AL even in the World Series this year?
Oh man, I don't know. It's so hard to say because I'm still not buying fully into them either. You know, the loss of Springer means that Miles Straw is probably an everyday player in center field, and Miles Straw probably shouldn't be an everyday player. You've got, you know, and over the past 2 years too, they've lost Gerrit Cole in the rotation and now Justin Verlander in the rotation. So you've got Zach Greinke and then Jose Urquidy, who might be good, Lance McCullers, who might be good. They've got good enough depth to make it work. And honestly, their rotation might be generally as good as the Yankees. Obviously, they don't have a Gerrit Cole, but we still don't know what Kluber is. We still don't know for sure what Jameson Taillon is. So, yeah, like possibly the AL is a lot closer than the National League where the Dodgers are clearly far and away the best team, and then the Padres and Braves seem to be in a tier of their own just underneath that. The AL is much more wide open.
He's Michael Bradburn joining me here on the Progressive Guest Line. He covers the MLB for The Score. And I'm curious, you know, let's stay in the AL for just a second, looking at that AL Central, because I've been impressed with the Twins a little bit so far. You talk about opening weekend success. The Twins took a 2-3 from the Brewers, and then their offense really came alive again today against the Tigers. Berrios pitched really well on Saturday night against Milwaukee. Offense pretty good. Are the Twins and White Sox going to be maybe in a dogfight for that AL Central title this year?
That would be nice. I think a lot of people, myself included, bought into the White Sox a little bit too early. I really like the way Tony La Russa so far is managing the bullpen as well, letting Garrett Crochet and Michael Kopech work as multi-inning relievers. Hopefully we get to see them in the rotation at some point too, but so far that seems like a great team on paper. But the Twins are being overlooked as a result of the White Sox just having a flashy offseason. And especially the loss of Eloy Jimenez, that probably evens things out between those teams. And yeah, if Jose Berrios is what we saw against the Brewers, that's nasty. Like, we've been waiting for Berrios to become a legitimate league ace for probably like 4 years now, maybe five, it feels like. And, you know, he came up around the same time as Luis Severino. I kind of thought those were like comparable guys, but Severino was clearly better at the time. But Berrios looks like he might be ready to take that step forward, and if that's the case, the Twins are a serious threat.
Yeah, they've got talent, especially, you know, on that offense, on the offensive lineup as well, with Nelson Cruz, what he can do, you know, as the DH. And, you know, they didn't have him really as the DH, obviously, against the Brewers. And then, you know, obviously they had him today, and then he had a nice day. Looking over at the NL, of course, the Nationals and Mets didn't play because of COVID. Nationals still dealing with that. Hopefully we'll be out of the woods here soon with that. But what do you make of the NL East? Because I've seen kind of everyone pick to win that division except the Marlins. So are we going to have a four-team race there? Or do you think the Braves are still, you know, head and shoulders above everyone else there?
No, I definitely think it could go anyway. I guess the one of the four teams that I don't think could do it is the Nationals. I would probably eliminate them. Although it would be a great story if they can make it work. Trey Turner looked great last year. Juan Soto is clearly becoming one of the best hitters, if not the most elite plate discipline artists in the entire league. honestly, the Nationals are probably the odd team out. I really like the Phillies as like the dark horse team that if it all comes together, they look legitimately good, and they're just coming off a victory against the Mets where they, you know, beat Jacob deGrom, which is not an easy task, with like Matt Moore on the hill. So I think they could be more than just a thorn in the side of the Braves and Mets. But, I did pick the Braves, but I don't think it's, you know, an easy call by any means. I don't think this division is decided by four games or more.
Yeah, it should be close there in the East. Final question for you, Michael. Michael Bradburn joining us. He covers the MLB for The Score. I'm curious to get your take on the All-Star game. Just announced that it's going to Colorado. And how do you think, you know, Denver will be as a host city and the game being played at Coors Field coming up this summer?
Yeah, for one more game, they got Trevor Story, Nolan Arenado, and everybody back at Coors Field. Yeah. Honestly, I think it should be fun. I think it's a very underrated ballpark. I've never technically been myself, but it looks gorgeous on TV, especially the sunsets in Colorado. Like, Colorado seems great. And I really like that, like, purple row thing they do where, you know, they have the row of seats that are exactly a mile high in the stadium. I think that's very, very cool. But, yeah, like, good for Colorado. I hope we get a launching pad, to be honest, especially for the Derby. And, yeah, it should be fun.
Do you think they made a mistake by not going, like, to Milwaukee because they wanted to honor Hank Aaron?
Honestly, no. Okay. I think there are more ways that you can honor Hank Aaron than making sure you're going to a place where he, you know, played his career or necessarily grew up, in the case of Milwaukee as well. But I honestly thought it would go to Los Angeles because they lost the 2020 game. Colorado was not the team I expected to have on my radar. But yeah, it would have been nice if Milwaukee got it. But I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. I didn't think about that. That LA lost it. Why wouldn't you, you know, just go back because you lost it last year? That's an interesting point. Michael, really appreciate the time tonight. Fun to talk baseball, as always, as the baseball season just gets underway, and I'm sure we'll talk again throughout the season. Michael Bradburn, he covers the MLB for The Score. You can find him on Twitter at MWBII. Thanks so much, Michael. Have a great night.
Appreciate it. You too.
Thanks so much. That is Michael Bradburn. Again, you can find him on Twitter at MWBII, great baseball mind, and he joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. And that's interesting. I didn't think about, you know, obviously just breaking about less than an hour ago was that the MLB moving their All-Star game to Colorado. It is going to be played at Coors Field this summer. Of course, it was moved out of Atlanta, so it is going to Colorado. And the first thing I thought of was, oh, it's, you know, not going to Milwaukee to honor Hank Aaron, but they are going to Colorado. And but it's interesting. Why wouldn't you just go to L.A. because they lost it last year? But no, sir. We'll have to see what the explanation will be for Colorado. All right, we'll take a quick break. You're listening to Sports Map All Night. Hunter Baumgart in for Bill Schmidt tonight. We'll be right back.